shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Tonight in prayer. Almighty and everlasting Father, thank Thee that we can assemble to worship You in spirit and truth. Pray that You will grant unto us understanding of Thy mighty purposes, cause us to bear witness of Thy purpose in the earth. We thank Thee for the spiritual center of Thy kingdom, Thy church, and our relationship as citizens of Thy household, members of Thy purpose through the structure of Thy church. We thank Thee that the church is an eternal institution, as the nations of Thy household are also eternal before Thee, knowing that what You purpose to do in the creating of Thy kingdom shall not be destroyed or stopped or stayed by the powers of darkness. So as we meditate upon Thy purposes and upon our relationship to it, grant unto us an understanding that reaches deep into Thy pattern as it relates unto us, and causes us to occupy in resistance against the powers of darkness and the forces of evil, in relationship to Thy purpose. We pray, our Father, that throughout the length and breadth of this nation, there shall become a great stirring awakening of Thy people, that their influence shall be felt, their testimony and witness shall be heard. We shall see again the cleansing of our nation, lifting up Thy standard to Thy praise and to Thy glory. So we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we ask it. Amen. This afternoon, there are a great number of people who are attending the trial of the American Legion Post of Signal Hill. Of course, yesterday, there were quite a few that were at this trial. Some got in, some did not. I understand they had to let them in today because they let the reporters in, so they had to let them in. Well, you say, what's a trial of a Legion Post? Well, whoever heard of a situation quite like this, where the state American Legion tries to take away the charter of the Signal Hill Post because it's a white Christian post, and they've identified themselves as a white Christian post. They're Jewish posts, they're Chinese posts, but you can't have a white Christian post. Of course, the twist is that this post is supposed to have engaged in conduct that is not acceptable to the Legion, in that it had an address that dealt with patriotism, America, and some of its problems. But the strange thing about it is that the post had held its meetings and had been dismissed. And after the post had been dismissed, they held a separate meeting, and Colonel Gale was the speaker, and of course the pressure that was brought to bear was being brought to bear by the Jews and by the Anti-Defamation League, the NIBRIT on the American Legion Post, to throw this post out because it was a Christian post and because it was opposed to the machinations of Jewry, and therefore they wanted it thrown out of the American Legion. So they have Judge Advocate and some others who are participating in this, whose identity are rather questionable. And Mr. Comperé, as you know, happens to be the attorney for the Signal Hill Post, and also the Christian Defense League is behind the defense of this post, and he's one of the board directors of the Christian Defense League. Ferreting out the identity of some of these so-called witnesses, he made a man by the name of Stewart admit that he changed his name, and his name was Samuel Isaacs, and that he was a Jew. And also, there has been testimony which is nothing but lie, because the people who are testifying were not even present at the meeting, and so this just demonstrates the kind of situation that's existing in this particular instance. So we point out that in California, you can have any kind of a post or a meeting inside American Legion as long as it's not Christian. So some of the very state officials had a meeting in which they had as a speaker a speaker who very definitely discussed the Jewish question, and in a most caustic way. And so they're kind of on the spot in this matter because they did this at a meeting, whereas this post had already had its post meeting, had dismissed and held a separate meeting as an independent operation. But this is a rather significant week for this kind of activity, however, because they are filing suit with the Civil Liberties Union, going to the assistance of
of agnostic pressure, along with the assistance of Nybreth attorneys against nursery schools in Long Beach, we understand, in order to block the use of prayer at mealtime in nursery schools. My, how proud California must be that you can file a suit against a nursery school that they cannot say, God is great, God is good, and we thank thee for our food. For this, there must be a trial. And they are seeking to enjoin the board and this school to stop this measure. And so this is just another one of those operations in which we see organized Jewry behind the scenes seeking to deny prayer, recognition of God, worship, chaplains, tax exemption status, everything that belongs to Christian America. The enemies of Christ are seeking to suppress. But my, how they hurt when somebody identifies them with their own deeds where they think it's going to hurt their pocketbook. So in this instance, this is a rather significant thing. We want to mention to you in relationship also to pressure that the design and the conspiracy as it relates today to bringing about a opposition to all programs that relate to the kingdom and the patterns of divine law. The attempt to mongrelize, to integrate and destroy is continuing with government support, but of course things are beginning to move in other directions and they don't like this. Established pattern of the qualification of the real estate board's petition to put the Rumford Act repeal upon an initiative has not only been thoroughly substantiated that there was adequate petition signers and it was fully legal, but there is no question about the fact that whether they like it or not, it will have to go on the fall initiative. Challenges were made, an attempt was to discredit the number of people that signed this petition. But the number of signatures has been now clearly established as beyond any ability of any machinery whatsoever to keep this from being an initiative. So now they go all out. The government of the United States, through the housing agencies and urban renewal, under a man by the name of Milton Summers, who is not an Irishman, has threatened with blackmail to blackmail the state of California if the people repeal the Rumford Initiative. Now the thing is, since it was put over by the state of California, it was put over in the legislature by the pressure of Brown in his liberal legislature, and was never something the people voted on. They have a right to vote upon it if they so desire, and to repeal it if they do not like it, and this is exactly what they're afraid is going to happen. For in the state of Washington, the similar bill was placed before the people, and they at least had a chance to vote on it, and they threw it out 5-1. In Oregon, they threw it out 3-1, and they believe that California will throw it out equally as strong. So we are blackmailed now by the government, which tells us that if we repeal the Rumford Initiative, that they will cut out all further urban renewal, housing assistance, and federal finance in any areas of housing in the state of California. So we should enjoin the governor, which we have authority as citizens to do, to enjoin the income tax collectors in the state of California that not one dime is to leave the state of California until they have prorated back a discount for the amount of money per ratio that is distributed to states to which we would have been entitled. I say this cannot be done, but I believe Louisiana established a precedent in this matter, tying up taxes in an area in which they were going to, in a very prejudicial fashion, punish the state because it was utilizing its own right under election laws to make decisions. And so in this instance, when they discover that a state can tie up and will tie up the monies and impound them until they get a proper proration as to the amount of money that would be taken by tax purposes and spent, which they would not be entitled because of demagoguery, tyranny, and this violation of the right of the citizen. Of course, I recognize that it's a rather hard thing to appeal for this kind of action to the kind of governor we have, but it is possible to enjoin him to make him perform if sufficient activity by the Real Estate Association, other groups would follow. However, I think that we have reached the ultimate low in government. Of course, outside of the Baker deals and all the other things that we've had for the last 4 years, we've reached about the ultimate low when you start blackmailing a state by threatening what you're going to do to it if it fulfills its own responsibility in the areas of election laws. But of course, state departments that supply prostitutes to foreign visiting potentates and then violate their own laws to send them all over the United States in violation of the Mann Act, might do almost anything anyhow. And so it's high time for America to wake up and dedicate itself again to freedom and do it with the same firmness and the same intent that our forefathers did when they declared this nation a new nation under God. So in this instance, this has been a rather unique week with all kinds of pressure coming on in every direction. because they feel that there is a necessity now to try to suppress the peoples of these United States. I want to tell you one thing you can be very happy over at the present time. There is a switching reaction across the United States concerning all the propaganda design and all the pressure of government to put over the so-called Civil Rights Act and civil rights laws, which, of course, we recognize impose whole areas of federal tyranny into your life. So it would give you control over your property, over your houses, over your business, and even in your interstate commerce and all facets of your national life. The government would be extending authority in a most punitive manner in these new civil rights legislations. But the letters are pouring in. And I was very much interested when senators from Michigan and senators from the state of Illinois report that their mail is coming in 100-1 against civil rights legislation. Even Senator Keuchel says that his mail is coming in 5-1 here in the state of California. But he says, I know that they've been misinformed by big mass ads and propaganda, and I'm going to vote for them anyhow. So anytime you've got a representative that's going to vote against the will of the people, he's a good man to take out of there. So it's a rather interesting thing as we watch the rise and the pressure. I think every intelligent Christian owes this responsibility to the program of God's kingdom to write his representatives, his Senate, and tell them where he stands and what he wants on these issues. Because it just keeps rolling in. And after all, these fellows are politicians, and they may do a little thinking before they go much farther. You've had some victory this week. They hardly rolled up a quorum the other day when Mick confused Senator Dodd was trying to cite that he thought the civil rights legislation should go through because he did not believe that anyone was going to be in any great danger if you guaranteed equal rights to any specific set of society. But what apparently the senator was still in the dark about was that it was not the problem of equal rights. The Constitution already guarantees them and requires nothing else as to the rights under the law that people might possess. But if they lack the capacities, the initiative, the vision, the understanding that relates to these matters, this is something else. But the measures that people are objecting to is that there is packaged into this civil rights whole areas of suppression of state rights and individual property rights. And so under this instance, as he was speaking, he didn't have a quorum. And now the thing is becoming quite obvious. The pressure's on from home. Senators are not showing up, and they can't vote, they can't act, and they can't even carry out the filibuster. Or they can't do anything without a quorum. So everything stops until they get a quorum. So now the very moment they find out that they're going to go ahead on civil rights issues, they don't show up. And so this may be a new stalemate, but anyhow, it's beginning to show the tempo. In relationship to this whole strategy, to come to the subject this afternoon, does it matter who you are? We listen to a representative of the Episcopal denomination talking about the fact that the church has upon its shoulders a great responsibility to do all in its power to bring about total and complete integration. He said, I point out to you that the apostles said that God was no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. The more quickly we integrate and get back to a least common denominator, the way we started out, the better off we're all going to be. Then we heard the announcement that you probably heard from Bishop Kennedy in the Methodist Church, who was telling about how they were going to speed up integration. They were going to take their most prominent churches and send their preachers down to Niggertown. They were going to bring Negro preachers in and put them in these Methodist churches for a full month's responsibility of administration, counseling, advice, pastoring, and preaching. Of course, this could be done if they polish these fellows up and tell them what they're going to say. And then again, there are some people that have heard, been so long since they've heard a good sermon, they wouldn't know the difference. But this, again, is just some of the status of the design in which they try to utilize the church to accomplish the objectives which are diametrically opposed to the program of God's kingdom. When a minister gets up to say that God is no respecter of persons because the apostles said so, he better qualify what they're talking about when it says he is no respecter of persons. When he cites that the more quickly we bring about total integration, we'll get back to where we started from, in a least common denominator, and back where we started from. It's quite obvious this minister doesn't know where he started from. Because if we got back where we started from, we'd be enveloped in light and no partner lot in the matter of these things they're trying to do today in the process of integration. It is again the area of error in which these men are giving the theological position that all peoples originated with Adam. And of course, this is a fallacious position to begin with. It is not biblically supported And even a perusal of the book of Genesis in the creative story would have demonstrated that there were differences here which they have not looked at. When they tell us that it doesn't make any difference who you are, they, my friends, have discounted about 85% of the content of the Scriptures. That's one of the reasons why we're going to point out to you that God, who is a very discriminating God, God who put the whole universe together with the intelligent wisdom and the mighty power of his own person, who holds it together by the very law that comes out of the conscious entity of his own will, and who comes out of the knowledge which he possesses concerning how things should be synthesized to get the results he wants, God who does all these things is an intelligent God. And I am going to tell you that if you pursue the Scriptures, you'll discover that all intelligent people discriminate. And you'll discover that when you deal with those that make no discrimination whatsoever, you are dealing with people who are seeking to bring about and institute a negative and satanic order of events. But before we go over into the full facets of what is involved in the pattern of this opinion, in which we are told that it makes no difference who or what you are, let us consider what was said by Peter in the book of Acts. Peter, who is talking about the great power of the gospel, and he's talking about the work of Christ, and he now beholds that not only those that are the house of Judah and Benjamin, but also those from the tribes and the nations can come to an understanding of the messianic work of Christ and can be endued with spiritual guidance and the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Apostle Peter says, so therefore of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Because after all, if we go back to the book of Jeremiah, he says, I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I'm going to put my spirit in their hearts. I'm going to put my law within them and so forth. Now, when he talks about these things, he said, with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And the apostle Peter was to discover that God had not thrown away the 10-tribe kingdom because Judah and Benjamin had returned back to the center to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and that the gospel had gone to Judah and Benjamin, but it was going to the tribes also. It was going to the peoples who were of the household of God, irrespective of where they were living. I also point out to you that after having just said that God was no respecter of persons, he talks about the things that related to the resurrection of Christ. And he said, we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, how they slew and hanged him on a tree. He said, also, we are aware that God raised up this body on the third day and showed him openly. Now, not to everybody, but unto those chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. So it looks like God did discriminate here and had selected some people that were going to see the risen Christ. Well, of course, this is a rather interesting thing because this happens to be the passage in which he is referring to the status of the peoples of God's household. And he said God was not a respecter then just of the peoples of Judah and Benjamin. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about the work of God's grace reaching out to all his children. And then he turns around and said, but God did select and choose us to see him after his resurrection. Now, I point out to you that the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans makes some rather intensive statements, one of which is this. He said, who are the Israelites? Now, I think this is an important matter because the declaration that I now read is that to the Israelites pertains the adoption. This word is huothesia. This word means the positioning of your birth by the plan of the father and the mother. So who are the Israelites? Israel being, of course, as you know, the issue that rules with God. That's what the word means. Divine issue ruling with God. Who are the Israelites? For to them pertains this positioning by birth in the very time that you're born in. It's the plan of the parents to even position the birth of the child, the positioning of him into the family by this measure. And the words translated in our English language, adoption. Adoption doesn't mean today what it meant when the word huothesia is translated. It means the positioning by timed birth into the family. Today we got the idea if you run out and get somebody that isn't your child and you take him into your child legally, that's adoption. God never spent any time going around plain stepfather to Satan's children. Now just remember this. God is not, my friends, gathering up those that are not his household and positioning him in the family of his own issue. So therefore, it's an important thing that you understand this afternoon after we read this passage as it relates to the Israelites. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertains this positioning of sons? Now, and to them pertains the glory. Now, someone said, what is that glory? Well, that glory is a aura of divine light and emanation which belongs to the household of God and to his offspring. And you remember that over here in the book of Isaiah, that we read the words of the Most High God, when he makes the declaration that, behold, I am God. In this declaration, he also refers to the fact that I am Yahweh, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, but I will let my glory rise upon Israel because they are my issue, my family, my household, but my glory I will not give to another. It is the emanation that belongs to the spiritually begotten children of the Most High when in a body of flesh are enveloped with this radiant light of divine presence which preserves, protects, and immortalizes their physical body. When Adam and Eve were first placed to the earth, they were enveloped with glory. They lost this in their fall, but its restoration is absolutely assured. And to the race that are the household of the Most High God, his children, you're told in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, arise and shine, thy light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon thee. But I won't give it to anybody else. Now more than this, therefore, to these people, the Apostle Paul, after his unusual experience of being challenged by the presence of God, after his training under the unction of the Holy Spirit to add to his already vast knowledge of philosophy and of natural science, there is added to it now the heavenly experience in which he was taught of God and of archangels and passed into heavenly administrations and came back. And then with all this experience behind him, the Apostle Paul writes, and he said, now who are the Israelites? To them pertain even their birth in the world as the children of God. He says, to them pertain the glory of God. Now to them pertain the covenants. Now what are these covenants? These covenants are the things that God promised, which are found in the Old Testament as well as the New. And we note that concerning this covenant, that God said to Abraham, for instance, that I will be a God unto thee, and thy seed after thee, and all their generations. And that God declares unto this issue, because it comes down from Adam through Seth and down through Abraham. And God makes a declaration, and this is what he said. He says, therefore, thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God. And Yahweh thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth. If there's anything that is important today, it's important to know who Israel is. And it does matter who you are, for apparently being an Israelite is about as important as it's possible for a person to be. Not only is it important because they have this positioning as the sons and daughters of God from their birth, that they have received and have the promise of the glory of God. They have all the covenants which God made that reaches out into all generations. And this, my friends, relates to the inheritance of the kingdom. They also have received the giving of the law, and they have the service of God. So therefore, they are the people to whom God bestowed a law which adjusted them to their environment. Which was essential for their most prosperous and beneficial living in the environment God had created. It was vital for them to understand this spiritually, morally, and ethically. And thus we have the declaration that this was given to Israel. So this is important. Today he says he writes it on the hearts of the peoples that make up Israel, because he says, I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I put this law in their hearts. I give it to them as an activated precept in the seat of their intelligence. That's important. You take one good look at Asia and Africa. You take a look at the immorality and the total depravity that exists in all the pagan religions of earth. You take a look at the ignorance of the witch doctors and the peoples of the jungle, and you discover that there's a very, very vital reality and a very vital asset to possessing a knowledge of the law of God. If you're wondering why it is that you white people possess the law of God, it's because you have to be the people Paul is talking about when he said, who are the Israelites? We could go into long ethnic backgrounds and the study and the tracing by migrations of every one of the tribes of Israel and locate them as we have done in the past and can do that in all the great nations of the Western world. We can find them in Scandinavia, and we can find them in Germany, we can find them in the Budavikli, we can find them in Spain, as we find them with the great Anglo-Saxon countries of the House of Joseph that make up these United States and Great Britain. We point out to you that we have no problem finding this, but we have a lot of people that are so blind they don't know who they are. And that's why the scripture says blindness in part has happened to my people. They know who God is, but they don't know who they are. And therefore, they don't know who the promises of God are made to. We have some patriots that are trying to save America, but they're getting involved with the wrong people because they don't know who they are. And because of this, they find their own program is being neutralized because they don't know who they are. But they want to attack people that do know who they are and identify themselves with all the promises of this book. Now let's take a good look at the declaration. Not only do we have the giving of the law and the service of God, no one said, what does this entail? Well, I don't think we have much problem finding out the service of God. All the Christian nations of the world are performing the service of God when they give acclamation unto the Most High God, when they testify and bear witness that He is God, when they build His kingdom, when they extend it to the ends of the earth, when they fulfill what God hath ordained His sons and daughters in the earth are going to do. I listened to a silly preacher the other day say a few good things, but one of the things he said, we've got to get out of politics. He says, we've got to take the Christian and the church out of all areas of the mundane life, he says, of this planet. He said, we've just got to remember as we sing that old song, only believe. That's all we got to do. He said, if we just believe and leave everything else go, everything's going to be all right. But I'm going to tell you something. The book of Proverbs tells you that if you want to know why some people have a rundown vineyard and cluttered up with debris and there's not very many grapes on the vine and the walls are broken down, it's because they're just sitting back contemplating, folding their hands and not doing very much. That runs a vineyard down. It'll run down God's vineyard, which is your inheritance, if you don't take care of it. And He didn't put you in here to just fold your hands and say, I believe. If you believe it, you prove it. That's one of the reasons why James, without trying to be caustic, was saying faith without works is dead. There isn't any question that real faith works. But when it doesn't have any evidence and doesn't produce any work, there's a question either on the intelligence and the sanity of the so-called believer or on the depth of the faith. So therefore, I point out to you that the service of God is something that you're engaged in. And it's something that you must increase with because there is a program God has. And this is what you were put here for. He didn't put you down here to believe. Someone said, well, that's the most important thing we can do. That may be true, but He didn't put you down here to believe. He put you down here to work because you believed before you came. He didn't put you down here to find out who you were. He put you down here to do a job. And bringing back to your remembrance who you are is essential to it. And believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is important to you. But I want you to know that this is just a part of the adjustment of your philosophy and your concept in order that you might do the task God ordained. Therefore, the service of God is your inheritance, belongs to the Israelites. And I don't see anybody else doing it, I can tell you that. I don't have to worry about where to find Israel. I can take a good look at Asia, and I don't see them doing the service of God. I can take a look at this Hottentot crew, and they're not doing the service of God. Yes, I think it's important who you are. Therefore, not only the service of God, but the promises. Who'd want to live today without promises? The promises of God belong to Israel, so it does matter who you are. And since Israel is made up of the seed of God through Adam, through Seth, through Abraham, the white race, it's important that you know who you are. Someone said, doesn't the program of God have any effect upon anybody else? I listened the other day to someone challenging the people that know the truth by saying, why, this is the most bigoted of all religions. It has nothing to offer to the rest of the world. The rest of the world doesn't have anything without it. Because I'm going to prove to you that God, who makes is no respecter of persons concerning the destiny of those that make up his own family and his own household, and whose grace reaches out even beyond that, makes this statement. And I read this out of the book of Isaiah in the 45th chapter in the 25th verse. For in Yahweh shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and it shall become radiant with glory. But how about the rest of the world? And then the Most High makes this declaration, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. For I am Yahweh, there is none else. Now you ask me of things concerning my sons, because I'm going to use my sons to set the world free. My family, my household. That's the declaration of the Most High. Someone said to me the other day, you know, I've searched all through my Bible, and I can't find that there. Well, it's the 45th chapter of Isaiah, and there is no excuse for not being able to find it in any King James Version or any other Bible. It's there. So therefore, this pertains to the Israelites. So it matters if you're an Israelite or you're not an Israelite, because all these things, so vital to the purpose of God and to the promises of God, are here related to it. Now let's go back again to that 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, and to those words that become very important to us. For thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God. We have the declaration of the psalmist that only that which proceeds forth out of God is holy. Only God, and that which comes forth out of God is holy, but this spiritual entity, which is your spiritual being, resident in this physical body, is holy unto the Most High. And that spirit sanctifies this body house. Because of this, therefore, Yahweh the Eternal One says that those that constitute his household, those that are Israel, thou art a holy people unto Yahweh thy God, and Yahweh thy God hath chosen thee to be his special people unto himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth. You say God doesn't discriminate. God has ordained that you are not only to move out to the ends of the earth, but you're to colonize it. You're to rule over it. You're to bring in divine law and enforce it. He says, why to you? He says, you ask me, and I'll give you the heathen for thy inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The same eternal Father says, why, I would invest Africa and Asia for you. He said, I would give all this for your development and for your accomplishment if this is necessary. I, the eternal, say, this is what I'll do. I think that you'll note that the world is waking up to this. We've watched all the patterns of darkness try the procedures of total integration and mongrelization, but the Bible outlines the difference in peoples. It brings out the fact that there exists in the earth people that are creations of God. As such, they are created species, good when they were created, and destined by God's great grace and plan to be in adjustment with him again, and every one of them bow the knee. He also has a people in the earth ever since the coming of the Adamic household that are his children and his spiritual seed, his household, and his offspring. He has also existed in the earth fallen angels and rebellious creatures that came from outer space in a great struggle with the Most High God. And he has within it a people that are deviation and a mutation, who are the offspring of fallen angels and these reprobate spirits that intermingle with peoples of earth. So you've got these four kinds of existing beings in the earth. You say it doesn't matter who you are. Yes, it does. It's a lot better to know that you're a child of God today than to think that you're one of the reprobate descendants of the devil. All the preachers, including Billy Graham, cannot make one Christian out of one devil. God has never played stepfather to Satan's children at any time. But I point out to you that it makes a difference today who you are. There were a whole lot of rascals in the days of Jesus trying to take over the kingdom. And Jesus identified them and said, now look, I am of my father and you are of your father. I'm of God and you're of the devil. Now we've got a lot of evangelists trying to get the children of the devil into the church, and that's what's the matter with it. They made it. We have a lot of devil's children inside of churches today trying to make the house of God the house of their father. They even got bishops tongue-tied. In this instance, I again cite to you that it is very vital for us to see the difference between the household of God and the enemy. I was very gratified this week with the reports in United States News. You know, if you wait long enough, they finally have to come around to it, even though this has given us better reporting than many news magazines. The fact remains that this nation has been in a very sad plight of having more of Satan's children advising our executives than we have had Christians around them in their immediate selection of advisors. The result is they act more like the devil than like sons and daughters of God. This is to be understood. And so here the devil has a master plan of creating a super world government, mongrelizing and integrating creations and sons and devils and fallen offspring into one hodgepodge of satanic power. He wants to mix the beast system in the kingdom, so it's all beast-like, and then activates this out of an elite status of supposed superior knowledge concerning governmental problems and comes up with the United Nations. And then this institution, aided and abetted by executives in your government, advised by devils, work out projects to end the administrative level of white men over the ends of the earth. He builds the semantics and he wages war on what we call colonialism. Someone said, well, that's a terrible thing to suppress the will of one of these Western nations over Africa or Asia or any place. Why, my friends, it isn't so bad because God said, I want you to go out here and colonize it. I want you to enforce the law. I want you to rise and rule. Can't be bad if this is God's plan. So in the instance of it, anyhow, whether they like it or not, they'll have to admit that one time, wherever that Union Jack was flying, we knew that the gospel was going out, and it was all around the world. The sun never set on that Union Jack. And whether they liked it or not, when that German double eagle was planted over a colony inside of Germany, or inside of Africa, the gospel went there. When that Belgian flag flew, the gospel went there. Wherever white men went, there went the gospel of Christ, the acclamation of who the proper God was. Judge Cook made a very important observation the other day when we were in conversation. He said there was one thing that brought respect to the British Empire was that it enforced the law with impartiality, but it didn't enforce the law. And it enforced that law over natives, but if a white man broke the law, they punished him as well. It was respect for law. The kingdom of God operates with the law. But the fact remains that from one end of the earth to the other, it became quite obvious that everywhere white men went, civilization and culture expanded and development took place where jungle viciousness under satanic delusions had previously existed. Remember a few years back when we talked about the coming troubles of the Congo, when they talked about driving out the Belgians and they're getting their independence here under UN pressure, and of course our foreign service helping to destroy this thing. And then it happened exactly as anticipated, because the moment that they removed the restraint and the Belgians took over, they started destroying their industries. They started to assault white people. They even liquidated some of their best brains. They attacked white women, and then they started in ravaging one another. And what transpired inside of Congo was just an evidence that these people were not ready for any area of self-government. Unless you wanted to revert back to the Congo witchcraft again. Now we've watched the Belgians move out. We've watched the great operations that were there, sustained to some extent by the foreign capital that was still trying to develop and utilize the areas of resources that had been precipitated during the time that the Belgian government was there. And there's been a lot of things gone under the bridge in the last few years. They've been battling one another, and they've been battling inside. The United Nations has been battling there. And even the communist and most liberal wings inside of the Belgium Negro groups have been in power from time to time. So we've watched nothing but trouble the moment that the white man was removed from his area of guidance and leadership. a couple of great plane loads of Belgians arrived. They arrived to see if they couldn't help salvage something of a great mining industry. If they couldn't help salvage something of areas of enterprise and production that they had once had operating in the field of manufacturing. And with them came some experts to see what they could do also to stimulate a redeveloping area of education. And there were some former territorial administrators that were there too. And it was had already been arranged that these men would have the opportunity to come and to go into the mining areas where still they had some interest and so forth. And when these two plane loads, the Belgians arrived, while Congolese by the thousands stood around the airport shouting, "Hurrah! Independence is all over!" Well, now that's really an intelligent concept. They have been treated so badly under Negroes. You know who treats Negroes with more tyranny and more demagoguery than anybody else is a Negro. They have so demonstrated this that after a little while, the people realized, and so now the Congolese wanted freedom to go out the window. If freedom meant they had to be ruled over by their own kind of people. I think they have come to realize that it's better to be ruled over by people with law, with justice, by people that are Christian, by their superior knowledge and their intellectual and spiritual wisdom than to be ruled over by their own witch doctors. There are those that say, it doesn't work. No, it doesn't work if you take down the standards of the kingdom. So I point out that in this very instance, again, we are watching this situation. Here in the United States, the design is to integrate, mongrelize, and destroy, and then find preachers of ignorance who will support this as though it were the will of God. The only important thing, my friends, is to agree with God, because this is vital and this is the surviving factor. We point out to you, therefore, that God has classified the people according to what they are. And when God selects a program for administration, he selects that which is capable of doing the job. And therefore, he said, I sent my sons into the earth to build the kingdom, to overthrow the powers of darkness, to eventually liberate the ends of the earth. And we're not going to let the devil with a temporary Antichrist program carry this thing out. He says, I'm going to empower my sons, and they're going to rise up, and anger is going to again fill their countenance against this vast conspiracy. And when they get through in the great nations of my kingdom, they're not even going to be any Canaanites. Somebody says it doesn't matter who you are. I think it matters who you are in the United States, because there's not going to be any Canaanites here one of these days. So if you like it here, it's good not to be one. In fact, real smart Canaanites, instead of trying to upset the American Legion, would have been already arranging passports for some other locality. Of course, if they had the spiritual capacity to read the scriptures, they'd be hiding some island out in the Pacific. They wouldn't go back to Palestine either. If you think you've seen an earthquake of any proportions, even though this was a gigantic upheaval of the earth, what transpired in Alaska is just, my friends, a little twitching compared to what's going to take place down in Palestine. A 10-foot uplift is what happened up there. But there's going to be a leveling of mountains and a breaking off of part of the land, and there's going to be a raising of water levels, and fresh water is going to be flowing right by the gates of the city of Jerusalem. Even the Dead Sea is going to not be a Dead Sea anymore. Fresh water is going to come in one end and out the other, and it's going to be a different elevation. And when the Mount of Olives opens up and closes, there'll be a lot of missing people. This, of course, is not understandable by those that don't believe in prophecy or God's ability to do what he says he's going to do, or those that think that that's the chosen people down there. But it does demonstrate this, that anybody that still thinks there's any chosen people does accept the fact that God discriminates. And it's just time they found out who he selected and what the qualifications are and how to identify them. And one way to identify the children of God today is not to go out and find those that hate his name and spit at his name. It's to find those that exalt his name and are identified with his person. What a travesty of all patterns of divine justice. If the people that God had selected to place above all the peoples on the face of the earth were the peoples that have brought all the crime, the vice, and the brothels in the world. The people that have been behind the greatest area of crime and of trouble and bloodshed for Christianity spawn communism and carry out its objectives today. Wouldn't that be a travesty? If this were the people that God had chosen, we would wonder where God got his education. Someone says, don't dare talk that way about God. Oh, you can talk that way with my father because he knows how you think. And he knows he never chose his people, so this isn't falling on him. But how he must pity some of the preachers today. You know what he's called them? Sometimes people worry about those DDs because he calls them dumb dogs following the desert. They seem to have fallen for this trap and made sure they all had it. Some of the best men I know are preachers, and some of the saddest people I know are preachers. Because if it is not thus saith the Lord and doesn't conform with the whole structure of this book, then, my friends, it's not enough. Let us point out again to you, therefore, that the Most High hath made some plans, and it's important who you are. He said that he not only had predestinated us, I'm reading the first chapter of Ephesians, for this timing of our birth, but he predestinated us as his children, did this by himself, who he identifies as Jesus Christ, says, I did this predestinating it to myself according to the pleasure of my will. And this is to the praise of the glory of the grace of the eternal Father throughout all time. Now, he goes to make this citation concerning this. He said, accordingly, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Don't you think it's important and it matters whether you were the people he chose? Because I'm going to tell you something. You better be hunting a religion if you're not. Because you're not in the right religion. If you are not the people he chose, you don't have any part in the lot with this book. And this book, my friends, talks about his purpose and his plan for his household to make up the spiritual center of his kingdom, that are to be known as his ecclesia, as well as his household and family. We turn over in the declarations of the book of Isaiah, and he said, therefore I am Yahweh, and there is none else, and I have spoken these things not in secret in some dark place in the earth where men couldn't understand it, but I have declared these things openly, and I declare them so that all men may know what my plans are for you. Then he makes this declaration concerning this. He says, thus saith Yahweh, who is the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. He said, I want you to know that thus saith the Eternal, that you shall go forth to them that are in darkness. You shall feed people in the ways. Their pastures will be the high places of the earth because you're my household. He makes the declaration again and again, so it's important that we have this covenant which he made with Abraham and that he is a father unto us and a God unto us forever. And this is the covenant that he made again when he reiterates his relationship through the mind of the Apostle Paul when he says, you come out from among them, be separate or segregated. Don't touch this unclean thing, so I can continue to be what a father unto you and thy children after you in all your generations. So therefore, the people that made up Christendom were the same people that made up the household of God and the Israel of the Old Testament, and God wanted the Christian church to remain a segregated institution, and he wanted it to fulfill its spiritual and physical obligations so he could be a father unto it in all of its generations. We turn, therefore, into the ultimate manifestation. He said the hour was going to come when this glory would descend again upon his household. It would arise up from within them. This radiation and its light would be a light unto the earth. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. The glory of Yahweh hath risen upon thee. Why? Because of who you are. Because you are the offspring of the Father, because of the entity of your being that you can't change, no one else can change, because you are the offspring of the Father, you'll be like unto him. And therefore, this is my covenant with you. Thus saith Yahweh, my spirit that is upon thee, my words which I have put in thy mouth shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith Yahweh, from henceforth and forever. Does this matter? I don't think there's anything that matters nearly as much. Some people may point at the great blessings that we have as the material byproduct of our ingenuity, our enterprise, But actually, my friends, it's been our vision. And I want you to know that this spiritual perception that is your inheritance is the most valuable asset, because catastrophes could wipe out everything you made, and intelligence and know-how can make it all again. We mentioned last Friday night the government's Heller report. They said in this report that the reason why people were poor, and this is rather significant, the reason why they were poor, because they didn't have much money. It says the reason why they don't have much money is because they don't earn very much. So the government report said if you make $1,500 and that's all, and you're one person, you're in poverty. And if you're a couple and you make $3,000, you're in poverty. So this is the official delineation line between poverty and not being impoverished. If you make $1,500 as a single person or $3,000, and thus prorated over the number of people. And therefore, they said the reason that people don't have earning power is either that they don't work very much or they don't know how to work. Then, number two, that the reason why they don't work very much is because they don't want to work very much or they haven't been trained how to work. Number three, because what they know how to do isn't worth very much more money. This is the most honest statement of all. So therefore, in order to war on poverty, we got to train them, it said, to know how to do things better so their employees will have to pay them more. If the employer has to pay them more because they know more, if we can also instruct them in motivation and initiative. I think this motivation would be pretty good. Because it does talk about motion when you say motivation. I had a man tell me down here who was a superintendent down here in the post office department where they had 25 men sorting mail where five used to. He said he touches them every once in a while to make sure that they're alive or awake. If you could teach them motivation, then you could get them to move a little more. Maybe they'd earn a little more. Only unfortunately, the government pays them just as much whether they have any motivation or not. When it comes to initiative, I don't know how you educate initiative. So then it's cited that since, therefore, we have related poverty to earning power, that was quite a confident observation, it is now our obligation to see that all people have more earning power and get more wages. This may require legislation that compels people to be paid according to what they know, whereas I believe it should be according to what they can do and produce. Because if you're just going to pay people by what they know and not by what they produce, you're still going to have poverty. Poverty for the people that will be impoverished by the policy. But all of this fantasy is an attempt, my friends, to take people who are not and try to put them up with people who are. It is an automatic admission that there isn't any equality, and they are trying to create equality on an economic basis. This is where you find equality. This is the one area where God is not the respecter of persons, because he says that I mete out justice to the rich as well as the poor. And I mete out justice to the poor as well as the rich. So in Proverbs, God, therefore, in the court of judgment, does not respect the economic status of a person in his administration. But I point out to you that what is being attempted today is to create an absorption of that which will drag down the moral, spiritual, and mental level of God's kingdom and thrust upon the generation of our youth in this day an association that will lower the greatness of this nation and this people. I tell you, it's important who you are, and it's important you make sure that your status, your culture, and your way of life is preserved. And to do this, you better start praying, working, bearing witness, and binding the darkness to see that the nefarious schemes of communism are not passed in the names of legislation in your country. It does matter. It's a rather significant declaration that God makes when he said, I have loved you of all the peoples on the face of the earth. God is capable of a vast area of love, and he And he has a tremendous purpose in his grace for everything in the universe. And I don't think there's anybody, including bishops, that can improve on God's grace. I don't think they can improve on God's plan. And I do not think there is anything that the world can substitute that is going to produce good like the purpose of God through the instrumentality which is the ordained, which is his household, and which is his race. Someone said, we don't want to teach this. This will give people pride. Well, I think America needs to be jogged up and get a little back. We're not proud of our fallacies. We're not proud of our shortcomings, but we are proud of our identity as a child of our Father. And we're proud of our Father, and we're proud of his grace and of his purpose and his plan, and we should walk tall and upright. Therefore, I tell you that it does matter who you are, because everything in this book, for this happens to be the book that relates to your race, God's plan for it, tied in to Israel. Now, I know some patriotic organizations that say if you believe you're Israel, you'll never do anything to save America. And then they take in the devil's children and put them in as coordinators and wonder why they can't get anywhere. They may not like it, but my friends, I'm going to tell you this. That is the kingdom of God emerges into the great next developing force in your nation. It's going to be in the hands of dedicated Christian administration. The hour is going to come, and it's not very far removed, where people will pray in schools and colleges without worrying about federal intervention. Say, so how do you know? Because we're going to eliminate from areas of authority by every legal process everybody that would obstruct it. And there's more of us to do it. This isn't the world order. This doesn't belong to the Antichrist. This is the nation of God's kingdom. This is the great land of the redwood tree and the myrtlewood tree. This is the land that he promised to the seed of Israel. This is the great country that God ordained was going to rise and lead with the outstretched wings of the eagle. And we're going to finish this task. Sometimes it takes a challenge to wake people up. You've been challenged by all the powers of darkness on the inside. But one of these days, when they see again your race riding high in the name of God, they're going to know it matters. I'll never see peace until you establish it with authority and with power. And you are joined by the God they don't want to accept. I tell you that it is a missionary responsibility to send the truth and to awaken people all over the nations of God's kingdom. Therefore, we know that we'll scarcely get over the cities of Israel before the end of this age comes. Personally, it can't come too fast. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Is the great triumph call of the household of God. But be sure about it, it will happen.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.